little bit funny.
Did it say recording is on?
This doesn't, which is so funny. Oh, it says in progress. We're in progress. So,
oh, great.
I'm going to go ahead and introduce you, Dr. Katie. Katie Comeda? How do you say your last name now?
Comenda, but I'm
Comenda.
Like, I'm changing my name to Catherine Jane because it's my actual legal name, and it's like easier than my ethnic last name, Comenda, to remember.
Catherine Jane.
Yeah.
So
anyway, or Dr. Katie. Dr. Katie's easier. Yeah.
Dr. Katie, I love it. So welcome to our Spring Shakti Rise Immersion Series. And I'm so absolutely delighted to have Dr. Katie again on our Immersion Series, our expert interviews. And I'm just going to read your bio. So named one of the top 75 yogis who are influencing the planet by Origin. Dr. Katie is a transformational force for many lives across the globe. For over a decade, she's helped those at pivotal transitions, career endings, entrepreneurial beginnings, new parenthood, divorce, and grief, awaken to their highest life's purpose and actualize their fullest potential. As a scholar of religious studies, Dr. Katie blends wisdom from the world's greatest spiritual traditions to help you discover you with Vedic astrology life insight. As a teacher, she imparts the profound insights from learning to observe yourself more deeply. As a life coach, she guides you towards more success and fulfillment on your life's path, which is, I can say this again, like I've had so many amazing readings with you, so very inspirational readings that have really transformed my understanding of myself and why I'm here, what I'm here to do continuously. We need that kind of help. So, you know, I just want to say that to begin with, it's just really a blessing to have you and to know what you share is just so important to the world. So as you know, Katie, this spring, the theme for the Shakti Rise Immersion is this idea of fullness or purna, or, you know, this idea that can we be ever full, a sense of fullness, a sense of abundance from within. And, you know, I think about this a lot as I sit in meditation for hours on end. You know, I do it twice a day, and I just got back from retreat, and I had a lot of what I would say a lot of purification this last time, where I had a lot of whatever was burning out of me was burning out of me, and I came home, and I felt like, wow, I feel lighter. I feel happier. I'm laughing a lot more. And I thought to myself, huh, I think this is what the yogis mean, is that we can actually live a life of freedom, a life of ananda, a life more connected to our bliss body, that's possible. And as far as I can tell, it might take some work.
Right.
So, you know, the idea behind this immersion this spring is stepping more fully into our sensual bodies, our sensual self, and using the tools of yoga to create the portal into accessing our full life potential. So, you know, I love the myths of the goddesses, and Lakshmi is such an amazing myth, and I always think about how she really doesn't tolerate when she's not respected. And
right.
Many of the myths, she said to kind of disembody and you know, even walks away from Vishnu at times, her consort, because she's not respected. And
right.
And the whole idea of how she's churning in the shadow and the light in order to rise up on that lotus is something that I think about a lot, especially with meditation. I'm like, oh, man, I don't know what's inside this subtle body, but I really want more freedom. I want more joy. I want more financial freedom. I want more freedom of speech, of that less inhibition. And I don't think I'm alone. And so I'd love for you to dive in wherever you feel like diving into this topic of kind of a lot of things here, but the sense of fullness, the sense of feeling like you're enough.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Well, yeah, so we're talking about Lakshmi, that feminine force of abundance. So we want to understand the laws around abundance that Lakshmi embodies. And anecdotally speaking, I just wanted to begin my comments about Lakshmi with something that my yogi friend in India told me recently. And he said that if you're somebody like me, which may be some of our listeners at home, meaning a Sarasvati type, right? Somebody who is dedicated to acquiring knowledge, right? So like my whole life I've been so immersed in the study of Indian philosophy and the Vedas and yoga and, you know, anything I can get my hands on to deepen my knowledge of truth, which is endless. I mean, it's an endless, endless ocean. But he said somebody who's dedicated to that acquisition of knowledge has to worship Lakshmi, which is the embodiment of wealth. And I thought, well, why, you know, like, can't I compartmentalize my goddesses and just focus on one? But he said that, you know, somebody who is internally Sarasvati externally should worship Lakshmi. And conversely, someone who's a Lakshmi type, you know, who, like I said to you earlier before we got on this, the recording part of our conversation, you know, somebody graduated from college and thought, okay, how can I start a business or how can I start building my retirement account, or somebody who's been thinking about money their whole life, a Lakshmi type should worship the goddess of knowledge or Sarasvati. And that the reason is that knowledge without wealth is really ineffectual. You're in your office alone. It's why I left academia. It's like, who do I reach? Who do I, you know, who do I impact? And wealth without knowledge, conversely, is really gluttony or greed. I mean, what value is knowledge without, or wealth without knowledge? You get like a Donald Trump type, you know, somebody who doesn't have knowledge. So, you know, what's the point of knowledge if it just sits in my head and makes no impact on the larger epidemic of ignorance in the world? And likewise, what's the point of wealth if there's no knowledge about how to apply it for the greater goal? So these goddesses complement one another. And I might add here that that same yogi also told me that money is second God. Money is our second God, and this is coming from a guy who spent 12 years on a mountaintop eating roots and berries in isolation, and he's like, money is second God. So Lakshmi is really important. Wealth is important, because wealth, as we all know, allows all things to grow and multiply. Hence, she's divine. She's important. So we really, you know, especially those of us who have issues around money, it's important to understand, I think, the wealth principle that Lakshmi embodies as a goddess. So one of the things that I wanted to talk about today are actually five things, five aspects of Lakshmi. There are five main aspects of this goddess that I want to highlight to help us understand how to apply the wealth principle in our life, especially those of us who are Sarasvati types, you know, who've never, you know, who just really compartmentalize money and knowledge, or more frankly, money and spirituality, which is a lot of us. We think, okay, spirituality is somehow not material, and material is somehow not spiritual.
Right.
So I wanted to talk about the five aspects. And the first one I want to mention is that Lakshmi comes in a pair. Lakshmi isn't what we would classify as an independent goddess like Kali or Durga. She is a married goddess. She's married to Vishnu. And Vishnu is the one who pervades. In Sanskrit, the root Vish means to spread out, to pervade, or to permeate. So Lakshmi is the Shakti, or the force that allows things to grow. And how does that translate into wealth or into money? Wealth is meant to grow and expand. It doesn't do well in a shoebox underneath your bed, like my grandfather did, incidentally. Kept his money in a shoebox underneath his bed because he didn't trust the banks. But it's meant to grow. It's fluid. It's liquid. It's spreading. So the first aspect of Lakshmi is that she is the Shakti, or the force of Vishnu, who's the pervader and who maintains the constant motion or the flow of the universe. So money is flow. We've heard that many times. Cash flow. And this is the first and most essential characteristic, we could say, of Lakshmi, the flow aspect. The second is that she is described as Aruna. Aruna. And Aruna is a color, actually. It's a particular kind of color. It's a very special and interesting color that isn't like something we could describe as red or blue. It's a color that's not quite pink or orange. It's not quite rose-colored or red or yellow. But it's a mix of all of these together, pink, orange, rose, red, yellow. And the time that we see this color is at dawn and dusk, both times of the day, a time when the day meets night and night meets day. In Sanskrit, this time of the day is called sandhya, the meeting time. So Lakshmi, as wealth, as abundance, doesn't appear in isolation. She materializes when forces come together, you know, when opposites meet, when we collaborate, when we join hands. If you look at, you know, the richest people on the planet, they're not off in their office by themselves. They're affiliating, they're mixing, they're meeting with people, they're growing their wealth in this way. So you could say in the world of economics, for example, it's when sandhya, this meeting time, this twilight time, or this dawn or dusk time, is when the market meets the demand. You know, somebody needs what you have to sell, and then wealth appears. I need to get tomatoes to make my sauce. So I go to the market, and there's a guy selling the tomatoes. Market meets demand. Day meets night. That's the second aspect of Lakshmi, which is Aruna, the color of dawn and dusk. It's one way we could look at it.
So you think of that as like partnership or... I love the way you're talking about this. It's so beautiful. So and I love this idea of market meets demand. Those two have to come together.
They have to come together. Every successful business meets a need of the market. It's like, you know, if somebody doesn't need what you're selling, then you're never going to sell it and you're never going to be abundant. Likewise, it's a partnership. It's who you affiliate with. It's who you connect with. I mean... you know, competition is also important for market health, but cooperation, collaboration, affiliation, day meeting night, heaven meeting earth, these are important factors for the generation of wealth.
Very
interesting. It doesn't happen in a vacuum, you know?
Yeah, and when you market meets demand, I find this very interesting because Alex, my 19-year-old, is really into studying business right now. And he said to me the other day, you know, Mom, you have to be careful of time today because you are selling people time.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, what do you mean? He goes, well, you know how all those like 1 hour workouts are doing really well and 1 hour yoga classes, and I'm still teaching the 1 hour and 45 minute class. And I just found that really interesting. So market needs demand.
Right. Exactly. And like even these online yoga classes, which I've started taking because, you know, I'm taking care of my elderly mother right now and I can't, you know, get out of the house when I want to go to a yoga class. So I'm taking these online yoga classes and I'm like, they're meeting my demand, and I can take one for 45 minutes. I can take for 20 minutes. I can. So that's really important. This Aruna, I would call it the Aruna principle.
Aruna.
The meeting principle, the blending, the mixing. It's like, what do your people need from you? And yeah, like, I mean, that's the old format, an hour and 45 minutes. Like, yeah, that's a fantastic yoga class. But, you know, do people need it?
Right.
And we could say, yes, they do need it, but they may only have time for 45 minutes.
Exactly.
So, you know, so
very
that, yep, it is. So that's the second aspect. The third aspect is Shri. Right. So that's the word that floats around in the yoga world, Shri. But it's a word that's really hard to translate into English. It means light. It means effulgence, which is a word that we don't really use much in American English. But effulgence means like a spreading light, a glimmer, or a shine. So Lakshmi is Shri in the same way that gold glimmers and shines, in the way that gold can't be tarnished. So Shri is a kind of spreading light. Lakshmi is all about spreading, because she's the consort of Vishnu, as I mentioned earlier. So it's a spreading light that's profoundly valuable and also useful. So Shri is a useful kind of light. It's something that is kind of like a candle, you know. It's a fire, it's a light, but it's a light that I can see by, so therefore it's valuable. And how much money do we pay for electricity, for example, you know, for the value of that light? That light, when we turn the light switch on, is Shri, because then we can see, then we can be productive, we can, you know, make dinner, we can work on our computer, we can, you know, see one another. So Shri is a useful light. Again, value. That is the third aspect, a valuable light. And then Lakshmi is described also as Kamala, which means lotus. Kamala means lotus, but there are several other Sanskrit words that mean lotus also, like Padma. So there's all kinds of nuances, just like there are many, many words for light, and Shri is a particular kind of light. Kamala is a kind of lotus. And we could describe Kamala as meaning the delight of desire. Kamala is a burning desire, you could say. Burning meaning that it spreads, it opens. And it's a feeling also. Kamala is a feeling like a really good idea that blossoms inside of you. It spreads. You can't stop talking about it. It's enthusiasm. It's a joyful wanting of something. It's not desperation or greed or coming out of frustration or poverty consciousness because you don't have it and you think you want it, you need it, you know. But instead, Kamala is a beautiful blossoming of an inner ichha, or longing, right? It's like, I really want, if you translate this into business, the most successful businesses are not the ones like the one that one of my clients was talking to me about today, selling burial plots to elderly people. I said to her, I said, do you really want to do that? And she's like, no, not really. It depresses me. And I said, right. So how abundant can that be? How abundant can it be if you don't really want it? Mm-hmm. If it doesn't blossom inside of you as a feeling of kamala, of enthusiasm. It's not going to produce you any wealth, even if you look on paper and say, well, the statistics show, you know, the aging baby boomer population is going to be needing burial plots and blah, 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 blah. It's like, okay, that might be the case, but if you're not, you know, lit up about it, if you're not enthusiastic about it, if it doesn't meet your desire, I mean, it's not gonna result in wealth, because
yeah.
Lakshmi
flourish,
is
right?
Kamala. Huh?
Yeah. I said it won't flourish if there isn't this Kamala.
No.
Desire, longing.
Mm-mm.
Yeah.
You have to really want it. You have to really desire it. There has to be some, you know, inner, like I call it, blossoming. For it to result in wealth. That's why she's called Kamala. That's the fourth aspect of Lakshmi, is Kamala, which is, you know, a desire that bears fruit, that blossoms in some, you know, tangible material way. So that's the fourth aspect. And finally, Lakshmi is extolled with a Sanskrit invocation in the Shri Suktam. The Shri Suktam is a Vedic hymn, for lack of a better word. I don't like to use the word hymn, but Vedic mantra is the Shri Suktam, or a group of mantras that invoke the Shri principle or the Lakshmi principle. It's called the Shri Suktam. And there's a part where you say prasida, prasida. So this is the fifth aspect that I wanted to bring out about Lakshmi, which is prasida, prasida. And prasida means praise. Prasida means praise. And we could translate this as wealth should be praised. Okay, now here comes the buttons. Here comes the buttons, because a lot of us have shame issues around wealth. You know, especially in Christian-dominated cultures, right? Because there's the teaching of Christianity that whether we're Christian or not, we're influenced by blessed are the poor, right? How many times have we heard that? Blessed are the poor. Jesus said it's easier for a rich man to pass through the eye of, it's easy for a camel, sorry, to pass through the eye of a needle than a rich man to enter heaven. So there's this kind of like abhorrence of wealth, especially among us yogi types, us spiritual types, shouldn't charge for your services, shouldn't charge for yoga classes, shouldn't charge for knowledge. And then, you know, a lot of us have shame issues around wealth. We don't think we deserve it. We think it's not spiritual to have money. But here I want to emphasize in this fifth aspect of Lakshmi, Lakshmi likes to be praised. Prasida, prasida. May all beings be abundant and happy. May there be wealth everywhere. So to honor money, to praise money, to extol it, to say it's a good thing, it's a valuable thing, actually helps it grow. Helps it grow. Lakshmi is the wealth, the growing aspect of divinity. That's why she's the consort of Vishnu, because she allows things to permeate and spread and blossom and bear fruit. And a big part of that is not putting it down or squelching it by this ridiculous shame, you know, like, oh, who's, or how many times do we do that with, you know, our fellow yogi entrepreneur types who are doing really well? We're like, oh, you know, who's she to do so well or he to do so well? You know, it's like we don't extol it. But Lakshmi likes to be praised.
Yes.
Lakshmi likes to be praised and extolled, you know, which is big learning for us Saraswati types who, you know, our task or our tapasya is to worship money, you know, to apply our knowledge in a way that makes money, in a way that's very Vedic, you know, in the Vedic tradition, when you study with a guru, the traditional period of study is 12 years. And at the end of your study with a teacher, the teacher always asks you to do something or to give him something. It's called dakshina. That's really hard for you to give. You know, so he'll, for example, make a really rich student go and beg, you know, take away his money and go beg and bring me whatever money you can bring. Or he'll take a really poor student and say, now you go become wealthy. You know, something that's hard, that's a stretch. And I think that's why my yogi friend said to me, you know, you're a Saraswati type. You can't just sit here and read a book all day, which is probably what I would love to do, just sit and study all day. You've got to apply your knowledge. Hardest thing in the world. It's my dakshina.
Yeah.
But nevertheless, that's where our growth is through our struggle. So all these five aspects that I've mentioned, the power to pervade and grow, you know, as the consort of Vishnu, the meeting of forces as Aruna, the meeting of opposites, the useful light, the valuable light, the Shri principle, and praise for the glory of wealth are significant for not just describing what I would consider the most important features of Lakshmi, but also the key expressions of how wealth manifests and grows in your life. I would distill it down probably to these five. There's probably more, but I think these are the five essential aspects of this particular goddess that we can detect in all the quote-unquote successful people, meaning people who are, I think, exhibiting a healthy relationship to money.
Yeah.
So that's my spiel on Lakshmi.
It's so awesome. You know, I really, I love this. I'm already tapping into like, oh, yeah. So I'm curious if you would, if there were practices, and maybe you do some of them, like would you chant the Sri Suktam or part of it? Are there practices that, you know, like, I mean, simple practices that I've done is like, well, one for me is like I do this at least once a year for 3 months. I go and I see the priestess of finance here in Boulder, and we go over all my finances, we go
yes.
over my goals, we get my money in order. I have a bookkeeper
yes.
now. You know, things that I really resisted, like, oh, God, I really got to sit down
mm-hmm.
and do my QuickBooks. But, you know, it's like
yep.
the container for the spread, right? You taught me that, actually, in one of my readings. Like, you have to have the container in order to grow your wealth.
Yep. Yeah. And like,
so there's that kind of practice where, you know, you get the help you need. You have a bookkeeper. You have like this woman in town, Joetta Johnson, and I'll share her information. Barry Tesler is another woman that I've worked with who does programs online that help us understand how to work with Lakshmi. And she doesn't always call it Lakshmi, but she, you know, we're learning all about sort of the container, how to hold the how to hold your money, you know, manifest right. and how to hold it, you know. And then little totally. Things that I've done, Katie, I've done like silly things like, rather than stuffing my dollars into my wallet, I actually take care of them. And I hear this in this, like, praise your money.
Yes.
How do we learn the practices of you know, and maybe you have other ideas, and how do we, you know, honor our dollars, honor our money?
Yeah, I mean, well, it's like Lakshmi Shri. Lakshmi is light. Lakshmi is light. And what I've discovered in myself is that money has been a source of darkness. Like I've kept a lot of fear there. I've kept myself in fear. I've kept myself in this ridiculous notion that, you know, you're not spiritual if you have money. These are all areas of darkness. And I think, like, one of the most spiritual things I've done for myself in the last year is I hired this incredible bookkeeper who just sent me my profit and loss statement for the year because I'm preparing for my taxes. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to look at this. I'm going to study this. I'm going to look at my darkness, and I'm going to shine light on it. And that alone, like, I've been chanting Sri Suktam for years. You know, it's like,
good for the Lakshmi type.
Yeah, I mean, I've been, like, chanting this stuff. I've been, like, you know, come on, Lakshmi, come on, deliver the goods. But it's like, no, the real worship is looking at that spreadsheet that my bookkeeper sent me and go, okay, like, you know, did I really need to spend $70 on getting my nails done? You know what I mean? It's like, did I really need, it's like all of that binge spending I've had to kind of look at and face my shame about it. Like, did I deserve it? Did I not deserve it? Should I really have gone out to sushi as much as I did? And, you know, blah, blah, blah. But it's like that to me has been more growthful and more spiritual than all the years that I've sat, you know, chanting and meditating and, you know, trying to invoke this wealth principle, when really she's the opposite of that. She's much more practical. She's much more like, you know, time is money. How do you manage your time? Like, how much time do I waste goofing off that I could be applying myself more productively? So all of that, like, I mean, I'm no great expert on wealth or money. I'm worshiping it because that's my practice as a Saraswati type. I'm doing the opposite of what I'm good at. Like, I can recite the Sanskrit dictionary for you if you want. But, yes. You know, it's like, how useful is that? How valuable is that for people? What price can you put on that? All that is Lakshmi.
Yeah, and, you know, I would say that, at least this has been my experience, that actually my meditation practice has actually caused me, like, the momentum of the inner clearing has actually caused me to go out and seek the help that I've needed. I never wanted it before, and all of a sudden, I do feel like this is coming from inside me. Like, there's a clearing that's happening. That's like, oh, you've got to handle this now, and it's got, like, you've got to move that into getting help.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to, you know, there's that inner work that maybe is hard to detect, but it's driving our outer actions. And you know, I've definitely, over the years for myself, have seen, like, oh, Jeannie, man, you actually need help with this. This does not come naturally to you.
Right.
You know,
no.
Yeah. I could be in the studio, like, all day long, just, like, chanting and doing asana. And, you know, I spend an enormous amount of time in there. And then it's like, okay, now go sit at the desk
right.
and do QuickBooks.
Right. Exactly.
You know, but I do
yeah,
that.
Like, you don't want to do it. But you know, it's really, what was I going to say about this? I've lost my train of thought. It's really valuable to face your shadow.
Yes.
You know, it's really, really valuable to look at it. But also, this is the point that I was going to make. It's also helpful to understand what your vision of success is. Mm-hmm. You know, in my work, I deal with people from all walks of life. And, you know, I have people, clients of mine, who are really, I would consider, really wealthy and really successful. And yet when I talk to them, they're totally insecure about their money and they think they don't have enough. And, you know, what if this happens and what if that happens? And I'm like, God, you know, you're so much better off than I am. And yet you're not satisfied. So it's important to know, like, what is your, what do you want to call it? Like your goal, your limit. You know, when is it good enough for you? When do you have enough? What are your needs? And how are they fulfilled? Like, some people may need a real 5-star lifestyle. They may need to have, you know, a really, really good car and a really big house. Some of us may be very satisfied with less. And that is still abundant. That is still Lakshmi. My yogi friend, oh, my God, he thought that I needed money because I was upset about something. And he wanted to give me all the money that he had. And it was like $1,000. It was like less than $1,000. And I'm like, but to him, it was like all that he had. And he was totally full with that. He was full enough with that that he wanted to give it to me to make my life better. And I was like, God, for him, that's enough. That's abundance.
Right.
That's wealth.
And I think that's a really interesting point, because I imagine that there's the inner wealth of all those years of being a sadhu in the forest and really seated in himself. And that's what I mean by, like you're saying, like the almost we're saying the balance of these two. We know when we're enough. It's interesting, my husband Tim, who you know, he said he sat up today, he had this conflict at work, and he started to feel this part of him like, oh, like what he had done was not enough for these people that were observing his work and commenting about some project that they're doing. And then he went into meditation this morning around, and the stuff started coming up, and he said he sat upright, and he was like, it's enough. It's enough.
Mm-hmm. It's enough.
And I think unless we have that feeling of being full inside, it's never going to be enough. There's always
it's
more.
It's never going to be enough. And I'm telling you, like, I talk to so many people from all different kinds of situations financially, and it's just, it's really interesting to see, like, you know, the different perspective on what is fullness. When are you full? Like, you know, when is it enough? And it's important to know what that is, to know what your goal is. And I was talking about this with you before we started recording. It was like, you know, you may feel like, oh, I haven't done enough. Like, I need to do more and more and more. But I've known you for many years now, and I look at you and I'm like, wow, Jeannie, you've done some really incredible things in the last few years, you know, and you've accomplished a lot of goals that you had for yourself that you were really frustrated about before. You've accomplished those, and you should take the time to proceed up, to praise yourself and say, wow, you know, I'm now connected with Yoga Journal. I've always wanted that. You know, I'm able to lead really cool retreats in beautiful places in the world. That's wealth. You know, I'm able to influence people positively. That's wealth. And you know, the other stuff, it's like, yeah, I mean, there's always room to grow, which is, again, the Lakshmi principle, because she's a spreading principle. But to feel satisfied with what you've done, it's a tapasya. It's a practice.
It's yeah, like, and this really goes back to Vishnu, too, doesn't it? This balance between the two.
Mm-hmm.
He really is, you know, sustaining and nourishing in that way. So I see where those two really need each other.
They do. You know, and the beautiful image of Vishnu lying on the celestial ocean, reclining in perfect bliss with Lakshmi coming out of his navel on the lotus. That image. I can't remember what it's called in Sanskrit now. It's like my memory's slipping with age. God, I'll remember it 3 a.m. I'll wake up and I'll go, oh, that's the word. But in any case, that's the image which is, you know, Lakshmi arises out of fulfillment. When you feel fulfilled, when you feel full, then Lakshmi comes again. There's this saying or this invocation in Sanskrit, Purnamida, you know, from fullness may I become full. You know, when you're in a state of satisfaction, that's when money comes even more to you. It's really interesting. And if you notice, like if you're an entrepreneur, if you're a business person, you'll notice that when you're not struggling so much, when you're not pushing and trying and agonizing, it comes on its own. It arises naturally. One of my teachers once shared an anecdote about his grandmother. He grew up with his grandmother, and whenever they needed to go to the market, she would always say,